The Fan. Fantasy football, point spreads, prop bets, and two guys who proudly call themselves degenerates.
Is that so terrible?
This is On the Money.
Look at those muscles.
Oh, this is your lucky day.
Sponsored by Bud Light. Brewed for a crisp taste.
Here's Dee Biddle and Scotty Vegas.
Welcome to the season premiere of On the Money. 97.1 The Fan. I am Dave Biddle. I am joined by Scott Prokop, a.k.a. Scotty Vegas. We have producer Bodie at the controls. This is a show about fantasy football and sports gambling. Scotty Vegas, how are you doing, my friend?
Oh, Dave, I am fantastic. You know, I'm doing the show on the back porch in my jammies. The weather's beautiful. 11 days till the NFL starts. Two fantasy drafts scheduled this week, so I can't be better right now.
I love it. I had my first league went on Friday. It's the Keeper League, the Auction League. We had that on Friday. I have my first draft league on Tuesday. I have another draft league on Thursday. So it's ramping up. How many money leagues are you going to be in this year?
I'm doing four, and I haven't had any drafts yet. I've been studying for the last week or two, but I have two drafts this week and then two drafts the week after that. And, of course, you and I are doing one this week, which is going to be great.
Oh, we are. Okay, I wasn't even aware of that. So I'm going to be in four money leagues, it looks like. I didn't even get the invite for your league. Same league as last year?
Yes, of course, of course. And we're going to get okay. Bodie and all the fan staff in on it.
That makes sense. Okay, I should have asked you about that. I love how on the air here we're breaking news about the fantasy football league that I didn't know I was in. So now I can tell my wife I'm going from three money leagues to four money leagues. She's going to be thrilled about that. If you would like to call the show out there, the number is 614-821-9710, 614-821-9710. If you have any questions about fantasy football or sports gambling, we're going to start the show off talking about just ways you can succeed in fantasy football this year. Just the tips and the strategies, the main ones you need to know. Scotty, you lead us off here. What's the main piece of knowledge you would like to pass along?
Yeah, first of all, you have to study the rules of the league. You got to exploit those rules. Work harder than your opponent. And, I mean, Dave, you and I are doing a league, and I had you send me the exact criteria for points. And you know what? You can't just gloss over it, because I noticed you threw in there bonus points for longer touchdowns, which is great. I love different varieties of these drafts, but you have to know exactly the point structure of your league. You know, obviously you got to know if is it a PPR league? You know, those are the type of things that you have to know first off before you start making your draft and putting your draft sheet together. You know, I'm a commissioner. I like to sneak a little funny point system in every once in a while. If you remember last year, I snuck in an extra point for quarterback scoring passing touchdowns. I love to do that just to make sure the rest of the league is paying attention.
Yeah, the big thing that, you know, first of all, if you're in an auction, make sure you're spending your money. Don't be sitting there like, I don't know if it's a good deal, especially when, you know, players, you know, you're down to like really one or two running backs that are left in your own top 10, and you're sitting there like, well, I only had him down as like a $30 player, but he's going for 40. You'd rather overspend on a player like that than leave your auction with 20 or 30 bucks left on the table. Spend your money. The worst I've ever felt is leaving an auction. It was a baseball auction. I left like 20 bucks on the table. I had like 300 to spend. And it just is the worst feeling in the world. Spend your money. And I find, you know, the common theme in auctions used to be, Scotty, like kind of save your money, kind of wait it out. I have found early is the time to strike. Not always, but like, for example, in our auction, Saquon Barkley went for a lot of money, but when you looked at what the other running backs, the elite running backs went for, turns out he was a good bargain, but he was like the second player up for auction. Strike early, spend your money. Those are the biggest thing in auctions. And then my biggest tip in fantasy football is very, for draft leagues, it's very simple. Best player available, almost always. There are exceptions to the rule. Like if you take running backs in your first three, with your first three picks, and you're sitting there in the fourth round and the best player on the board is a running back, you might not want to take four running backs in your first four picks. But usually, take the best player on the board. Things are going to happen. Somebody's going to fall in your lap that you didn't expect would be there. You might have thought, I'm going to take two running backs to start the draft off, but all of a sudden Mike Thomas is sitting there, first pick of the second round. You got to jump on that. So Spend your money in auctions. Take best player available in fantasy football and draft leagues. Scotty, anything else you want to pass along?
Yeah, and this year is going to be so different this year than years past, as we know, the COVID fantasy football strategies. I mean, look, we don't have any preseason, limited practice this year. So for me, I'm going to let others grab some of those risky rookies. All right. They don't have the time. They don't have the reps from the preseason. So for me, I'm going to wait a little bit on rookies and let other people grab those. And look, there's also going to be an extra emphasis for guys who are going to be on teams with returning head coaches and coordinators. Look, there's several. I think there's five new head coaching changes. There's a lot of new offensive coordinators. To me, it's going to take a little bit of time. So those first 3, 4, 5 weeks, you know, where these head coaches haven't had the experience with their teams, with their coordinators haven't had the experience. To me, it's I'm going to lean more towards some of those guys early on, guys that have been there with their team for a while, same quarterbacks, that kind of thing. Just because I think that'll benefit you right out of the gates, not only in fantasy football, but also in gambling and looking at teams that have the experience coming back.
Yeah, this isn't a foolproof plan, but it's one that I use. It's usually players on new teams, especially elite players that move to a new team. It usually doesn't go as well for them. There are exceptions to every rule. But I used Le'Veon Bell last year. You know, that might be an extreme example because he also took off the previous year from football. But I think going into last year, people are like, okay, Le'Veon Bell, we thought of him as the Le'Veon Bell that played for the Steelers. That was, at one point, the best running back in fantasy football. He could carry the rock. He could catch you 100 balls in a year. He scored a bunch of touchdowns. But then he goes to the Jets, and he's probably the same guy for the most part, but just a bad fit for the Jets. Adam Gase never liked that signing. And maybe he was, maybe Le'Veon was a little rusty, taking a year off, but it just wasn't the same guy. So you're not drafting Le'Veon Bell that was at, in his prime with the Steelers last year. You're drafting Le'Veon Bell with the new team with the Jets, and it didn't go well. So, you know, I'll look at a guy this year. Now, I still love Hopkins. I still love Hopkins for the Cardinals, but he's joining a new team, and I still think he's going to do well. It's not going to be like Le'Veon Bell where he's a bust. But if it's between Hopkins and maybe Julio Jones, you know, if Mike Thomas is off the board, I'm taking Julio Jones. Normally, I would take DeAndre Hopkins. I think he's the better player compared to Julio Jones, but it might take some time learning the new offense, get some chemistry down with Kyler Murray. Again, to be clear, Hopkins is still a top three, top four wide receiver. I'm just saying he's not, you know, he would normally be my number two receiver this year. This year, he's probably more like my number four. So not as extreme as Le'Veon Bell, but those players on new teams, they're not the same guy.
Yeah, and I agree with that strategy, Dave. You know, if you're between two players, you want to minimize the risk. And for you, DeAndre Hopkins playing on a new team versus taking Julio Jones, who's been in the offense forever, yeah, that's kind of a tiebreaker. And for me, looking at running backs, you know, there's been a little bit of a concern for me with Joe Mixon and these migraines. So for me, I really like Mixon. I think he has a great chance to have a good year. But for me, if I'm between Austin Eckler and Joe Mixon, I'm probably leaning Eckler because of the migraine issue. So if I'm basically tied between two guys, I want to take the less risky pick, especially in the first round.
Now, where are we at on the migraines? Does he have migraines, or does he have quote unquote migraines?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, he's in the last year of his rookie. He's in the last year of his rookie deal, and it's not even like, even if he was a first round pick, you'd still be saying last year of his rookie deal. But he's making first round pick money. He's in the last year of his rookie deal, making second round pick money, which he's, you know, his contract's like right around what, like a little over $1 million this year. Great money for the average Joe. Not great money for Joe Mixon because he's worth a lot more than that. So I tend to think that this is just, and I frankly, even as a Bengal fan, do not blame him. I think this is a negotiating tactic where he knows if he just holds out, he's going to get fined. So he's like, you know what? I'll come up with these quote-unquote migraines. But I'm on the fence with Joe Mixon. Sometimes I think he might be a bust this year, but I'm a big fan of getting guys that are in contract years. Of course, he could sign this contract before the season begins and right. Throw that out the window. But my point is, I'm not buying the migraine thing. I think that's just his way of saying, listen, get this contract done or I'm not going to practice.
Yeah, no, I understand that. But for me, Eckler and Mixon are basically, I love both players. So for me, the tiebreaker is the little bit of concern. Now, whether it's real or not, we don't know, and I tend to agree with you. I think this is about a new contract, but as a tiebreaker, I'm going to eliminate the stress of having to worry about it, and I'm going to take Eckler.
If had some people ask me about fantasy football this year. Is there like a, you know, is the interest in fantasy football declined? You know, if you're trying to, you know, renew your league and you're trying to get guys back in your league, are less guys wanting to play? I am not noticing that at all. In fact, you know, you're joining my league this year. We're adding to my league. Everybody that was in my league last year is coming back. And other leagues I'm in, we add our keeper league. We even added a team. Poor guy had to, like, you know, basically draft from scratch because the rest of us came back and he basically was able to pick from our scraps the guys that we cut. That's the problem of joining a keeper league, when it's already about 5 years in. But Scotty, what about you? Are you noticing a lack of interest compared to previous years or no in fantasy football?
I'll tell you what, I think it's the complete opposite. I think that from what I've seen, there's more people wanting to do fantasy football. Obviously, knowing that college football is a mess right now, obviously, with the Big Ten and all that stuff, I think there's extra emphasis right now on wanting to get involved with fantasy football. And maybe it's more people that wanted to do one or two leagues in the past now are doing three or four. But I'm definitely seeing a lot of interest in fantasy football.
I'm with you, man. I think if anything, you know, people are just starving for sports and football, and I think the interest has gone up. But I've seen some people on Twitter say things like they're seeing a lack of interest. I'm like, you guys are hanging out with the wrong people, is my response to that. No, all right, let's get in. Let's have a little fun here. Scotty and I are going to do a first-round mock draft. So it's like we're in a 12-team league, and we're going to go snake format. Although that doesn't matter because we're not going to do the second round. But, Scotty, we're going to do 12 picks. We're going to take turns. You've got the first pick. I'll take the second pick, and we'll go from there. Scotty, you are on the clock. Who is the first pick in the draft?
Well, I am very excited I've got the first pick because this one is a lock. I'm going Christian McCaffrey. I mean, the guy posted the second most highest points in fantasy football history last year. It's an offense that's going to rely heavily on him again. I'm going McCaffrey at one, and I don't think there's any question. You could look at maybe Barkley there, but I'm going McCaffrey.
Yeah, it's a clear course. It seems every year we do this where, oh, this guy is the clear-cut number one fantasy guy, and somebody else inevitably will finish with the most fantasy points. I'm going to jump Saquon Barkley. It's really close between Barkley and Zeke with me, but I'm going to take Zeke. I just believe in that offense more. I believe in that offensive line a lot more. Zeke, I think he's going to catch the football more this year. He might not have as many rushing yards, but he's still going to. They're definitely going to throw the football to him more. It's very close. I'm taking Ezekiel Elliott with the number two pick. I think I know you're going to take number three. Who you got?
Yeah, Scott? But I do love your Zeke pick. Look, there's players in fantasy football that you tend to draft year after year after year. I've had Zeke in my leagues 3 years in a row. I always buy high on Zeke, but so you taking him, I will take Barkley at number three. I think it's 50-50. I think McCaffrey is almost a lock for everybody at one, but then Barkley and Zeke at 2-3, I think it's pretty close. So I'll grab Barkley since you've got Zeke.
By the way, in the keeper league I was in, Barkley went for $92, which seems like a lot. Zeke went for $104. That was the most.
Wow.
Those two were the most, period. And keep in mind, people are keeping like other good running backs. Like, I kept Dalvin Cook. Kamara was kept. Some other guys, McCaffrey was kept. So it was like Barkley and Zeke were the two main guys that were out there. It went for a lot of cash. All right, number four pick, I am taking Dalvin Cook. You got number five pick, Scott.
Yeah, and I'm going to go with a Derrick Henry, actually. And I know Alvin Kamara is there. I'm going to go Derrick Henry. What he did in the playoffs last year, I know he's not a huge PPR guy, but I do love Derrick Henry.
All right. The number six pick, Alvin Kamara, falls right in my lap. I was not expecting that. I will take Alvin Kamara. All right. You are up with the number seven pick.
And for me, there's six backs that have to go 1 through 6 in the draft, and we've already taken all six. So I am going to go wide receiver, and of course, that's going to be Michael Thomas.
You can't guard him. He is unguardable. I'm also going to go wide receiver, a guy that is a little bit underrated to me. He's ranked like as the number four wide receiver by most people, so not like vastly underrated, but I love Tyreek Hill. I think he's going to be right behind Mike Thomas as the best receiver in football. I will take Tyreek Hill, number eight, in our mock draft here. All right, the ninth pick of the draft. Who you got, Scott?
Yeah, I'm actually going to go with a rookie. I said, you know, tend to stay away from rookies. He's the one rookie that I would love to target in the first round, and that's because he's the Chiefs running back, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. To me, the amount of opportunities that he's going to get at the goal line is going to be high. I'm taking him with this pick.
Yeah, I think that's a good pick, and you know that's right around where he's been selected in most drafts, right where he's projected. What's funny about that is it's just such a great fit for him. I mean, he's a good player, but if he played for like the Jags or something, he'd be probably like a fourth round pick. But because he's with right. the Chiefs and the main guy, yeah, it's a great fit for him. I'm going to also pick a running back, number 10 pick of the draft, Nick Chubb from your Cleveland Browns. Well, maybe not your Cleveland Browns, but there's a lot of Cleveland Brown people out there listening. All right, who you got number 11, Scotty?
Yeah, Chubb was a great pick. I'm going to go Austin Eckler. You know, I mentioned him earlier. I was between Eckler and Mixon, and I still like Mixon as a good first-round running back. But to me, Eckler and the ability with the PPR, I know it's not a great offense, new quarterback, but I like Eckler, and I think they're going to use him constantly. So I think his usage is going to be so high that I'm taking him at pick number 11.
The 12th and final pick of the first round is Joe Mixon, although I have kind of a bad feeling about it. I might have to be drinking a lot of Bud Lights when I'm watching the Bengals this year, because Joe Mixon, he could be a bust candidate, but I'm taking him at 12 because when healthy, when motivated, he's fantastic. Speaking of Bud Light, On the Money is sponsored by Bud Light, brewed for a crisp taste, the fan, Ohio sports destination. We really appreciate Bud Light sponsoring the show. All right, how high will some of the Buckeyes be taken in fantasy drafts this year? Also, when will sports gambling finally be legalized in the great state of Ohio? That is up next on The Money, 97.1 The Fan.
The first and the best. Your home for all things Buckeyes, Jackets, and former linebackers making inappropriate innuendo. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
On The Money, 97.1 The Fan, I'm Dave Biddle. He is Scotty Vegas. This is a show about fantasy football and sports betting. Let's get to our first caller of the season. Rusty is on the line. Rusty, welcome into On the Money.
What's up, boys? How the hell are you?
We're good, Rusty. How are you?
Football this year, but we're doing pretty good.
That's good. That's good. We had our draft last night at midnight. We're not real competitive, so he, the commissioner, just throws it in as an auto draft, and I'm trying to figure out if I should keep Dak Prescott as my quarterback.
Yes, he's ranked. Keep him. I'm not a big Dak guy, but people that I trust, there's a man named Jake Seeley who I think does the best job of ranking fantasy football players each year. I mean, it's a proven track record at this point. He's got Dak Prescott in the top five of quarterbacks. I mean, and it's a good offense. I think they're going to have a better offense, a better scheme than what they had under Garrett, which is a low bar. But Zeke's going to catch more passes. CeeDee Lamb's going to be excellent as a rookie. They've got other very good receivers like Cooper. I would say keep Dak Prescott. What do you think, Scotty?
100%. In fact, I love Dak Prescott this year. In fact, I would actually rank him as high as the third quarterback this year. So I think you got very, very lucky to get Dak Prescott. Again, as Dave mentioned, it's all the weapons that he has on that offense and the ability to run the football. He's the total package. It would not shock me if Dak Prescott at the end of the year ends up being the number one fantasy football quarterback. It wouldn't shock me.
Wow. I got lucky because I got Zeke and Amari Cooper too.
Oh, you're a
well.
Cowboy
there you
fan
go. You're
year.
All in on the Cowboys.
Know. I was going to say I don't know who like your normal favorite team is. This year's going to be the Cowboys. It sounds like. All right. Well, thanks for the call, Rusty. We appreciate it. All right. Let's get into a topic that I'm sure, if not everybody listening to this show, wants to know about. Maybe 99.9%. Scotty, when are we going to have legalized sports gambling in Ohio? We have it. It seems like if every bordering state has it, maybe Kentucky doesn't. We know Indiana does. We did some of our shows down there at Hollywood Casino in Indiana. When are we going to be able to go to Hollywood Casino here in Columbus and be able to make some legalized sports bets?
Well, that's the billion-dollar question right now, David. And honestly, part of the delay in this has been the focus, obviously, which makes sense on the coronavirus, and that's kind of slowed kind of the efforts down a little bit to get this going. But in late May, the Ohio House did pass a version of legalization to authorize, regulate the sports betting. So there is a little movement in the House. Now what's got to happen is the House and the Senate have to get together. Now, the House wants the Ohio Lottery to be the regulator, and the Senate Senate. They're calling for the Casino Commission. So there's got to be a coming together. And from everything that I've heard is they expect that to happen, to negotiate it potentially late this year. The last that I've heard as far as a date on when we could possibly expect Ohio sports gambling is potentially by March Madness time next year. So fingers crossed, but that's kind of the timeline. Again, there's been several situations that have pushed this back, but it is still active and on the front line right now.
Ohio lawmakers, get this done. It's silly to have the state's money leave the state to Indiana or West Virginia or wherever else. People are still going to be gambling on sports. Might as well do it here. Get this done. All right, let's move on. Buckeyes in fantasy football this year. Scotty, let's start with the running back position. There's a couple good ones for the Buckeyes. Let's start. How do you think, looking deep, guys like J.K. Dobbins, where he might go? We know where Ezekiel Elliott's going to go. I tend to think J.K. Dobbins is a little underrated this year because even if Ingram stays healthy, Dobbins is going to get some touches. If all of a sudden if Mark Ingram gets hurt, J.K. Dobbins is a running back one on a very good offense. But just break down the running back position for the Buckeyes in fantasy this year.
You put it absolutely correct. You know, J.K. Dobbins is one of those sneaky plays. Now, again, here locally, we all know J.K. Dobbins and what he can bring to the table. He's going average draft position right now. He's getting drafted in the mid-80s, which will put him, you know, potentially 7th or 8th round in your draft. Look, he's going to get touches. He's going to get 8 to 10 touches a game, even with Mark Ingram in the lineup. And as you said, this is an offense similar to the Chiefs, where you're going to expect a lot of goal line carries, a lot of scoring opportunities. So I could see Dobbins sneaking in there. And look, Ingram's a little older. I wouldn't be shocked if J.K. Dobbins by week 7, 8, 9 is challenging Mark Ingram for the starting job. So I like J.K. Dobbins. Again, if you can get him in round 7, round 8, and be your 3rd, 4th running back to stash, that's a great pick. Couple of the other backs that are out there. Carlos Hyde, he's kind of a guy who actually had a good year last year, signed with the Seattle Seahawks during the offseason. He's actually going to battle behind Chris Carson this year. So I actually think that very, very late, Carlos Hyde, right now his average draft position is 205, which means he's only going in the deep, deep leagues. I like him there as well. So to me, it's Hyde, Dobbins, and then obviously Zeke, who's going in the top 3 in every fantasy draft. Those are your running backs.
Yeah, Hyde's a guy that, you know, in our auction league, no one took him, and I imagine he's going to be a free agent in most draft leagues, unless it's a super deep league, like you said, but he could end up being a very good waiver wire pickup. We shall see. And if you have a deep roster, maybe stashing El Guapo on there is a good idea. Okay, let's look at the wide receiver position for Ohio State. We know they have the number one wide receiver in fantasy football in Mike Thomas. Terry McLaurin is a top 20-ish wide receiver, which is well-deserved, and it's just awesome because he was pretty much the 3rd best wide receiver as a 5th-year senior at Ohio State on Ohio State's team, and then he comes in as like the main receiver for Washington. What do you expect out of Terry McLaurin and maybe some other wide receivers from Ohio State?
Yeah, Terry McLaurin right now, his average draft position is in the low 60s. You're right. You're finding him in wide receiver 15 to 20, somewhere in that range. And look, what he did last year was incredible. And that was on such a bad offense with such a bad offensive line, ugly situation in Washington. This year, I would expect he's going to see even more targets. So he put up good numbers, 919 yards last year, 7 touchdowns. And he did it on just 93 targets, which is unbelievable. I think what you're going to see is his targets go up, and he's obviously the number one guy. We know his relationship with Dwayne Haskins. It's a great situation. I think McLaurin is going to be found in probably the 4th or 5th round in a lot of drafts. Other wide receivers, and let me tell you, this is a guy who I think is a good sleeper pick this year. And he's a guy who's not going early. He's going very, very late in drafts, if he's even being drafted at all. And that's Paris Campbell. He's with the Colts. Look, T.Y. Hilton has been missing a little bit of time, has a little bit of a hamstring issue. Paris Campbell could potentially be the sleeper pick for me. New quarterback there, Philip Rivers. I like him. He's willing to go over the middle. I like Paris Campbell a little bit this year. And it's funny, you mentioned, you know, McLaurin being the third wide receiver. I was watching that Ohio State Northwestern game the other day, and Paris Campbell was just making catch after catch after catch in that game. And I just feel like he's a sleeper. And then as far as other wide receivers, you got Curtis Samuel. He's a guy, the issue with Curtis Samuel for me is he's going to be the fourth guy on the team as far as targets, because you're going to have McCaffrey, DJ Moore, Robbie Anderson. That's a lot of guys to be behind. So for me, I probably wouldn't draft Curtis Samuel. I'd lean more towards looking for Paris Campbell late.
Next up, we will look at the fantasy and betting preview for the Cleveland Browns. That is up next on The Money, 97.1 The Fan.
Sports conversation and sometimes pure stupidity.
It's awesome, funny, random.
Your home of the Buckeyes, The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
On The Money, 97.1 The Fan, I am Dave Fiddle. I am joined by Scotty Vegas. If you would like to call the show with a question about fantasy football or sports betting, the number is 614-821-9710. Again, that's 614-821-9710. All right, Scotty, let's take a look at the Cleveland Browns from a fantasy and betting standpoint. First of all, in fantasy, who are you targeting from the Browns? Who are you staying away from when it comes to the Browns, Scotty?
Well, as far as who I'm targeting, look, Nick Chubb to me is going to be a monster this year. And I know that there's a lot of people that are questioning, well, will Kareem Hunt steal some of his points, some of his goal line carries? I'm not worried about that. Look, I think Nick Chubb, with this offense, Kevin Stefanski runs a lot of two-back sets. He did it with the Vikings last year. So I think there's going to be plenty of carries to go around for both Chubb and Hunt. Now, I will say, if I'm grabbing Nick Chubb in the first round, you know, maybe pick number 8, 10, somewhere in that area, then I'm probably looking to grab Kareem Hunt as a handcuff a little bit later on. But to me, I really like Nick Chubb. Guys who I'm avoiding, honestly, I was so frustrated last year because I had Odell Beckham on my team, and every single week he disappointed for me. Now, I don't expect that to happen again this year. I think they'll be a little bit better. But look, I think Kevin Stefanski's offense is going to lead more to the running game this year. So to me, I'm actually staying away from Odell and Landry. I could see investing in Austin Hooper. You know, this is a guy who's coming off career highs in receptions, targets, yards, and touchdowns. I think it was a great sign by the Browns. He's only 25 years old. I think him as a tight end is a good target. I'm staying away, however, from Baker and the wide receivers. What about you, Dave?
Yeah, I was a believer in Baker last year, and I do think Baker is going to bounce back. But to your point, I think Stefanski is going to rely on the run more, which isn't going to help Baker as a fantasy player. I think it's going to help him as a quarterback overall. Their offensive line is better, which is huge, and they just don't have Freddie Kitchens calling the offense, which is great. And being a head coach, which Freddie Kitchens, you can make the argument, was a, you know, decent offensive coordinator when he took over for the second half of that 2018 season, but so far in over his head as a head coach. I think Stefanski is going to do a good job. Now, Stefanski is a rookie head coach himself, but I think he's ready for it. So yeah, I'm not drafting Baker Mayfield. I'm not buying him in auctions. If I have, and usually if I'm in a league that only starts one quarterback and I get a quarterback I really like, I usually only have one quarterback on my roster until I need to get a second one for a bye week, and I just stock up another position. So I'm staying away from Baker Mayfield. I love Nick Chubb, but to your point, you got to get Kareem Hunt if you can, if you have Nick Chubb, because Kareem Hunt's still a really good player, and he's going to steal some carries and some touches from Chubb, but again, they're going to run the ball a lot, so I like Nick Chubb a lot. I'm on the fence with OBJ. I feel like he's like a bounce back candidate, but again, there it's going to be more of a run heavy offense. But I do think he's a little underrated this year, and I don't think Jarvis Landry is going to do what he did last year. So I definitely prefer OBJ over Landry, and I think OBJ, just based on where he's ranked by a lot of the analysts. Now, you never know; you could be in a draft and somebody could overdraft him. But don't be afraid if he slips to you and you need a wide receiver. OBJ could be. I think he's going to have a better year this year than last year. I'll put it that way. All right. One more thing about the Browns here. They are underdogs by 8.5 points in their season opener at the Ravens. No surprise there. Then they turn around 4 days later. They host the Bengals Thursday night, week two game. The Browns are favored by 7.5 points. So 8.5 point dogs first week, 4 days later, 7.5 point favorites over the Bengals. What do you make of that, Scott?
Yeah, that's pretty wild. So basically what you're telling me is if the Ravens and Bengals were playing, you're probably looking about, what, 15, 16 point spread right there? I mean, that's pretty incredible. And looking at the Browns as far as winning the division, they're plus 540 on the lines that I'm looking at to win the division. Obviously, the Ravens are the heavy favorite in the division, and then Steelers are plus 400, so 4-1, and then Browns, and then Bengals are 20-1, which that's throwing away money. But as far as that week one spread, Dave, you know, it's funny, as a bettor, I think I'm going to look this year to taking points in week one. Because, look, I mean, so many situations in week one, we don't have any preseason. We don't have nearly the reps. So to me, I think that's going to even out some of these teams. The only thing that I would be looking at, though, is the Browns have the new head coach. So that makes me a little bit nervous. You know, the time spent there together hasn't been the same. But they do still have Baker and pretty much the same offense and weapons. So to me, that's a lot of points for week one.
Let's switch gears and talk about win total over-unders for AFC teams. We'll get to NFC teams later in the show, but we're going to focus on AFC teams and their over-unders for win totals. I love these. Whether it's NFL, I like it in Major League Baseball, though I was foolish enough to think the Reds were going to actually be good this year. But I love the season win total over-unders. All right, let's start at the top. Scotty and I are going to say which way we would bet. The Chiefs and Ravens are tied for the most. 11.5 is the over-under. Let's start with the Chiefs. I will take the over. I think they're going to go 12-4 or better. I know that, you know, 11-5 to me would be a bad year for the Chiefs. Although, you know, they won the Super Bowl. Maybe they're going to have the mindset of let's just cruise and get in the playoffs and we'll be fine. I'm taking the over for the Chiefs at 11.5. What do you got, Scott?
I'm with you on that. I think over as well. I mean, to me, that's such a great offense, such a loaded team. I wouldn't be shocked if they get to 14 wins this year. So I'm going over.
Ravens 11.5. I'm going to go over for them as well. I think they're going to be right around 12-4. I don't feel quite as good about them as I do the Chiefs, but again, I mean, they're clearly the two best teams in the AFC, in my opinion, two of the best in football. I'm going to take the over with the Ravens. What do you think?
I agree with you. I'm going over as well.
Tied for third in the AFC, the Patriots and the Steelers, 9.5. So pretty big jump there from the top two teams, Chiefs and Ravens, 11.5. Patriots and Steelers are the next best at 9.5. Let's start with the Patriots. I will go over 9.5. I think he's going to find a way to go 10-6. He went, 11-5 with Matt Castle that one year. They didn't even make the playoffs that year when Matt Castle had to play instead of Tom Brady after Brady got hurt in the opener. But a lot of Patriots have, you know, opted out because of COVID. So I'm going to take over on the Patriots at 9.5. What do you got?
I'm actually going to go under on the Patriots. Look, for me, so many changes. And also, this is a team that had an easy schedule last year. They face a tougher schedule this year. I think the AFC East is a little bit better this year than it was last year. So I'm going to go under on that one.
Steelers 9.5. I will go under that, although I do think they're going to be a solid team, but I have them pegged more at 9-7. It's going to be really close. What do you got for the Steelers? Over or under 9.5 wins?
I'm going to go with the Steelers going over because I actually am a big Steeler guy this year. I think they're going to be very good. I think they're going to be right in that tier, right? Maybe slightly below the tier with the Chiefs and the Ravens, but I think they're going to get 10-11 wins this year. Over.
Tied for fifth in the AFC for win totals, the Bills and the Colts at 9. Let's start with the Bills. I have the Bills going over 9. I think 9-7 is a very good possibility. Then you would push. I have over 9 for the Bills. What do you got?
I'm under on the Bills. I think Josh Allen kind of takes a little step back this year. I'm going to say under for the Bills.
Colts at 9, that's a tough one. I will go with Phillip Rivers there. I'll go over for the Colts, but it's really close. What do you got, Colts over or under 9?
Boy, 9's a good number. They've got an easy schedule. With Phillip Rivers, I like it. You know, boy, right at 9 is where I'm at. So I'm going to say, can I say push?
Yeah, you can. Of course you can. Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to say that would be a no-bet push for me.
There you go. Okay, can't push this next one. Titans, number 7 in the AFC, 8.5 wins. I just think they're going to regress this year. I think Tannehill was like, we know who Tannehill was. He just kind of caught fire at the end of the year and still wasn't that good. In the playoffs, they just tried to run the ball. I'm going to go barely under. I think they're going to be about an 8-8 football team this year. I'll go under 8.5 for the Titans. What do you got, Scott?
I'm with you. I think there will be a little regression. Look, they were 9-7 last year. I think getting 9 again would be a surprise to me. I'm going under.
And then tied for 8th in the AFC, the Browns and the Broncos. 8 wins. Browns, I have going, oh man, that talk about push. I think they're going to be 8-8. I'll say the Browns will, oh man, I'll say they'll be a 9-7 team. I'll be nice to my Browns fans. I'll go over for the Browns. What do you got for the Browns at 8?
Well, the fact that I've got Baltimore and Pittsburgh both going over in that same division, I have a hard time getting the Browns up there. So I'm going to go under.
Yeah, the math wouldn't work out there, I don't think.
No.
Yeah. And then the Broncos at 8, I like them, a lot more than last year. Obviously, I like Drew Locke a lot, but I still think 8's too much. I'm going to go under 8 for the Broncos. What do you got?
Yeah, this is an offense that's completely rebuilt. I think they're going to be a pretty good team. I'm going to say they're going to make the playoffs, and I'm going to have them in at over.
All right, let's go rapid fire here. Chargers at 7.5. I'll go under Chargers at 7.5 after losing Rivers. What do you got?
Agree. I'm going under.
Texans 7.5. I'll go over. What do you got?
Know, they always seem to find a way, don't they? I mean, the troubled offseason, but they always seem to find a way in that division. I'm going to go under, or I'm going to go over as well.
Raiders 7.5. I'll go under, but I do think they're going to be solid, but I think they're going to just fall short of winning 8 games. What do you think? Raiders over or under 7.5?
Yep, I agree. Under 7.5.
Just a few more to get here. Jets 7. I will go under 7 wins for the Jets. What do you got?
See, I think Sam Darnold, this is the year that he takes a big step up. I like him. The loss of Adams to me is tough. That hurts them defensively. But I'm going to go with over for the Jets.
Dolphins 6. I'm going under for the Dolphins at 6. What do you got?
Yeah, they were kind of the surprise story last year. They were horrendous for the first half of the year. We thought they were tanking for Tua. Ended up playing really well late last year. I'm going to say they're going to go over.
15th is the Bengals, second to worst team in the AFC according to the odds. 5.5 wins. I think the Bengals are going to make strides in the right direction. I think Joe Burrow is going to prove he's the quarterback of the future, and they're going to be happy with the pick. Fans are going to like it. But I still see them as a 4-12 or 5-11 football team this year. I'll be surprised if they get to 6-10. So at 5.5, give me the under for my Bengals. What do you got, Scott?
The offensive weapons are there. Joe Burrow, A.J. Green, Tyler Boyd, Joe Mixon. That's there. Bad defense. I think that keeps them under 5.5.
Last one, the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Minstash, Gardner Minshew, 4.5. I'm going to go under. I think they're going to be like 4-10, 3-13. I'll go under 4.5 for the Jaguars. What do you got?
Yeah, I think they're going to be contending for the number one pick in the draft. Tank for Trevor is what we're going to be saying about Jacksonville this year. They're going under.
Or tank for Justin. All right, next up, we will look at COVID strategies. Yes, that's a real thing. For fantasy and betting this year, that is up next on The Money, 97.1 The Fan.
The offseason is a myth. Serving you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to feed your sports addiction. The Fan, Ohio sports destiny.
On The Money, 97.1 The Fan, I am Dave Biddle. I am joined by Scotty Vegas. We have producer Bodie at the controls. All right, Scotty, let's get into COVID strategies for betting and fantasy football. You know it's 2020 when we're talking about this. Scotty, my friend, you have the floor.
Yeah, for me, big thing. Rookies this year, again, they don't have the experience as far as the preseason. The camp started late. To me, rookies, let other people take the rookies. Second thing, also new head coaches and different offensive coordinators, they're going to factor in, especially early in the season. Now, there's a few teams that have new head coaches and offensive coordinators. That's the Browns with Stefanski and Alex Van Pelt. The Redskins, Ron Rivera is new there with Scott Turner. And then the Panthers, Matt Rhule and Joe Brady. To me, those are big factors early in the season. Those first 4 weeks where you have a new head coach, a new offensive coordinator. Some of these teams have new quarterbacks. That's going to be tough. And then obviously, more important this year than ever is going to be to make sure that you have a handcuff for your top players. You know, if you're going to go and you're going to draft a top line running back, make sure you get his backup later on in the draft. That's going to be huge because there will likely be weeks where some of your top players are going to be out. You have to have the handcuff to be able to put in there. And that's another strategy is denying your opponents their handcuffs. You know, taking a chance on some guys in rounds 10, 11, 12 that are backup running backs just because you think that there's a potential that some of these starting running backs will go out.
Scott, you know, a lot of NFL fans for years have been saying, why do we have preseason football? It's the dumbest thing in the world. They should just cancel the preseason. Well, guess what, football fans? You're getting your wish this year. No preseason games. How do you think this will affect fantasy, especially early in the season, if at all?
I think it'll have a big effect. I really do. I think more so for the young players. Look, the veterans, they don't need these preseason games. But I think it's the rookies, the second-year players. Those are the guys that that might be affected a little bit more. That's why, honestly, I am staying away from most rookies. We'll get into some of the top rookies. There's still really good rookie running backs out there that I would target. But I would be less inclined. You know, CeeDee Lamb, Jerry Jeudy, those are some of the top rookie wide receivers that are getting drafted. I would be a little bit more hesitant on that because, look, they, you know, CeeDee Lamb hasn't had the amount of time to work with Dak Prescott that he normally would. So to me, those guys would fall a little bit. Look, running back, that's a position that the only difference going from college to pro as far as, you know, running backs go, for the biggest change is going to be like the pass protection and things like that. And they struggle, rookie running backs struggle with that anyway. So I wouldn't be surprised. Obviously the speed of the game as well. But to me, rookie running backs, I could still target. It's the quarterbacks, the wide receivers that I would wait a little bit on.
What are some worst case scenarios for the NFL this year in regard to COVID?
Well, obviously, it's the position rooms. You know, if you've got multiple players out from the same position group, that's worst case scenario. And I don't know. Let's say, you know, you get a couple quarterbacks out. That's going to have to be a postponed game, right? I mean, you cannot just pick up a quarterback off the street. So that, to me, is worst case. And, Dave, what I would like to see as far as the NFL adjusting is maybe adjusting the schedule a little bit. You know, maybe having some Saturday games. Let's say if anything were to happen to college football, I'd like to see them move a couple of the games to Saturdays, add to the intrigue a little bit there on Saturday. What do you think, Dave?
I would love that. Now, hopefully, we're going to have college football, not just in the SEC and the ACC and the Big 12, because they're definitely going to play. We'll see if they are able to finish. But hopefully, the Big 10 gets its act together and is able to reverse course. I didn't think that was a possibility, but you know, I covered the protest yesterday, and there seems to be a little bit of momentum building toward that. But let's just say, you know, worst case scenario, we don't have Ohio State football this year. Yes, I would love to see that. We see it toward the end of the year when there's no college football. They have the games on Saturday. If there is a limited college football schedule with no Big Ten, no Pac-12, I would love to see some Saturday games. I don't need any Friday games. We have Ohio high school football, which is amazing in itself that we're going to have Ohio. We do have Ohio high school football, and we might not have Ohio State football this fall. Probably won't have Ohio State football this fall. It is just mind-boggling, but that's where we're at. All right. Next up, we will do a deep dive on running backs in fantasy football this year. That is up next on The Money, 97.1 The Fan.
My God!
Common Man and T-Bone.
Weekday afternoons from 3 to 6.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
On The Money, 97.1 The Fan. I am Dave Biddle. I am joined by Scott Prokop. We like to call him Scotty Vegas. We have producer Bodie at the controls. If you would like to call the show with a question about fantasy football or sports betting, the number is 614-821-9710. But now it is time for the Daily Grind. Hit it, Bodie.
It's time for On the Money's Daily Grind.
Sponsored by Atlas Butler Plumbing Services.
Now, in future shows, when we actually have NFL games, we will give you, you know, the best bets to make for daily fantasy football. But we're going to look ahead right now, and we're going to give you our picks on who's going to lead fantasy football in points at each position. We will start at the quarterback position. I've got Pat Mahomes. You probably got Lamar Jackson, or maybe you got Mahomes as well. Who you got, Scotty?
No, I've got Lamar Jackson, and the difference to me is the rushing yards. You know, the rushing touchdowns and the rushing yards. That's why I would go Lamar just barely over Patrick Mahomes, which, by the way, we talked in the first hour about Dak Prescott. I wouldn't be shocked if he's right in that discussion, too, as top quarterback fantasy points-wise this year.
Number one running back in fantasy points this year. I think we're going to agree on this one. Who you got?
Yeah, I think it's Christian McCaffrey's the guy that you have to take. The one thing that I did notice, though, is in previous years, you know, there were three running backs who were number one overall picked that repeated as a top five back the next year, and none of them ended up being the top of the position the next year. So while we think that Christian McCaffrey is the lock, the number one pick, he's definitely not a lock to be one of the top performers the next year just because he was last year.
And I would usually be, you know, a little cautious because of the new coaching staff, but I love their new coaching staff in Carolina. It's going to take them a while to get things going with defense and rebuilding the roster. But, I mean, you look at what Joe Brady, the offensive coordinator there in Carolina, did with Joe Burrow in his 1 year at LSU. LSU went from this prehistoric offense to, like, one of the best offenses you're going to see. And it took him, like, 2 months to install that. You know, it wasn't like it took, like, oh, in year two it finally came together. It's like that was his first year at LSU. They took off. So I think, you know, if you're concerned about the new coaching staff, which a lot of times I would be, I don't think that's the case in Carolina, at least offensively. I think they're going to do a good job. So, yeah, I got McCaffrey as well. Wide receiver, Mike Thomas is my pick. Who's yours?
Yep. Mike Thomas. I mean, I think he could catch 120 balls this year. So I think he's the clear number one wide receiver. And I don't even think it's close. I like Devontae Adams, Julio Jones. But to me, it's clear. It's a big step between Michael Thomas and the second wide receivers.
I like Tyreek Hill as the number two wide receiver. I know I'm on an island there. Everybody has him like ranked like fourth, maybe even fifth. I think Tyreek Hill is going to be the number two receiver in fantasy this year behind can't guard Mike. All right, tight end. Who you got as the number one tight end in fantasy football this year?
Well, I'm going to surprise a little bit. I know most people will take probably either Kelce or Kittle. I think this guy is going to be dangerous this year again, and that's Mark Andrews with the Baltimore Ravens. I think he is a good sneaky play. I think I would let everybody draft Kelce and Kittle, and then I would sneak in there and take Mark Andrews right after those guys went.
Yes, I hope you're right, because I got Mark Andrews in my Keeper League auction. I love it. I'm going to pick Kelce, but I hope you're right. All right, let's get to a caller. Parker is on the line. Parker, welcome in to On the Money on 97.1 The Fan.
Oh, good afternoon. I'm getting ready to do a fantasy draft. It's a Keeper League, one-point PPR, and I'm just curious about my keeper, if I should keep Lamar Jackson or Saquon Barkley. I'm a Browns fan, so I'd hate myself for keeping Lamar Jackson, but I'm kind of torn there.
Man. Who's your other running backs?
We haven't drafted yet. I don't have any other running backs that are close to Saquon's.
You just can pick one. My gosh, that's close.
Yeah, you're talking one of those two.
Oh, man. I'd go with the running back. What do you think, Scotty? When it's that close, I have to go with the running back. What do you think, Scott?
I agree 100%. You got to keep Barkley. The reason why is the depth at the position at quarterback. And I know Lamar Jackson, the numbers that he's going to put up, and it's hard to turn that down. But Barkley being the second or third running back, I think you got to take him based on the depth of the position. Especially
PPR.
Thank
you for the call. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, it's super close. You're talking about, you know, one of the top two quarterbacks and one of the top two running backs in fantasy. You really can't go wrong, but when it's that close, I go with the running back. So thank you for the call. And by the way, On the Money is sponsored by Bud Light, brewed for a crisp taste. Ohio's sports destination is, of course, 97.1 The Fan. We really appreciate Bud Light sponsoring On the Money. All right, let's get to some running backs. We promised we would do this. Let's break down the running backs in fantasy this year and who to target. I mean, it's pretty easy at the top. I don't think we need to get into you need to target Christian McCaffrey. Everybody knows that. But let's get in some guys that might be sleepers this year. One that I'll throw out there, a guy that's ranked right around 30th, according to my guy at The Athletic. Not 30th overall, but the 30th running back. is Devin Singletary from the Bills. And I know Moss is getting a lot of run and everything. I like Singletary a lot. I think 30th. I think that he's just way underrated. I'm not saying he's going to be like top 15. I like him right around 20th, maybe 25th at the worst. And he's ranked 30th. I think Singletary is a nice sleeper this year. What do you think, Scott? What do you think about that? Who do you got as some sleepers?
I like that pick a lot. You know, this guy isn't a sleeper because he's considered a top 15 running back, maybe even a top 10 running back. But Kenyon Drake, to me, is a guy that I think a lot of people forgot about for a while. And then he arrived in Arizona late last year and then tore it up towards the end of the season. One of the things that I like to look at when I'm drafting for the next year is how players performed from about week 10 on to the end of the season, and Kenyon Drake was a beast, one of the best running backs in football when he got to Arizona. And that's an offense, you know, a faster paced offense, and an offense that's going to be really good this year. Kyler Murray, you know, Hopkins, and I like Drake as the running back. So I think Drake, who's kind of drafted probably around running back 10 to 15, somewhere in that area, I like Drake a lot. I think there's good value, and it wouldn't shock me if he ends up being a top six running back. As far as kind of a deeper sleeper, one guy I like, and we know him pretty well, Jonathan Taylor. I think he's going to end up being the top back for the Colts. I think he might be worth taking a gamble kind of in the middle of the draft. We know how good of a runner he is, and that's a dome team. I like Jonathan Taylor, the Colts, this year, and I think you'll be able to find him in round 10, 11. So I like him as well.
Yeah, and one guy that I think is a very deep sleeper is Anthony McFarland from the Steelers.
Yes.
Ranked as the number 58 running back, according to the list that I'm looking at. 58th running back. And I'm thinking, man, obviously it would take an injury to Connor, but all of a sudden, Anthony McFarland, we know firsthand watching Ohio State football, this guy's explosive from Maryland. And it's not like they use, I always say follow the draft, you know, if they use like a second round pick on somebody, like, you know, they're going to use that guy. He was a fourth round pick. They didn't invest that much in him, but it wasn't like he was a seventh round pick. I think he could be a sleeper for the Steelers. Anthony McFarland. As far as busts, I hate to say this because I took him in my keeper league because he was the best running back left and I had to get an elite running back. Joe Mixon scares me a little bit this year. He just does. You know, if he gets the contract, then it's no longer a contract year for him. If he doesn't get the contract, seems like he's pouting a little bit, which again, I don't even blame him. He's still in his rookie deal, second round pick money. They got to pay him. Joe Mixon scares me a little bit this year. I still think he's, you know, I'm telling you, he's the real deal. It's not like when he has the football, it's not like it's a Jeremy Hill situation where I could just tell Jeremy Hill's never going to be a good football player. It's like Mixon is the real deal, but, you know, he can be a little bit of a head case. I don't know. What do you think about Mixon this year?
Yeah, I agree with you. I like Mixon because I think that offense, look, they had a lot of goal line opportunities last year that he didn't capitalize on and a little bit unlucky. Better offense this year. Look, I think he's a top 10 pick, probably right around 10, 11, I should say. But, you know, the contract year, the migraines, which we talked about at the top last hour, look, there's too many question marks for me to take him unless I'm like pick 11, pick 12. So I think Mixon will be good, but I do have those question marks. A couple of guys, though, a couple of running backs that I would totally stay away from, Dave. Number one would be Leonard Fournette. I think that's going to be a really bad football team in Jacksonville. So I just worry about him and his effort level. So he makes me nervous. He's a guy who I am staying away from. And then the other guy, which is crazy to think about because a year ago, 2 years ago, you know, he was a top pick. He was a lock. Todd Gurley. I mean, the injuries just make me nervous. Now we're ranking him in the probably low 20s as far as running backs, maybe high teens. But to me, Todd Gurley is not worth the risk this year, and he's in Atlanta now.
Yeah, I agree with you there. Let's look at some rookie running backs. Then we'll get to rookie wide receivers. I find both of, especially the wide receiver class, is very interesting this year. But let's look at running backs first. Obviously, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, we talked about him. He's going to be a first-round pick. Great fit there with the Chiefs. They used a first-round pick on him. We've talked about him a lot on the show. But let's talk about some of the other guys who maybe aren't getting as much run. Where are you at on, let's start with DeAndre Swift with the Lions. He's a guy that's being taken relatively high, and in auctions people are spending a decent amount of money on.
Yeah, no, I think he's a good running back. He's going to split a little bit of the work early with Kerryon Johnson, but I that Lions team to me is actually a team that I expect to take a little step forward this year. Hopefully, Matthew Stafford can stay healthy. They've got good wide receivers. You know, Galladay is a guy, by the way, that I will target heavily in the mid-second round as far as wide receivers go. But Swift, I like him. The thing that makes me a little bit nervous is, you know, the Lions do like Kerryon Johnson. Bo Scarborough's there. So there's kind of three backs there. But I think eventually Swift will take over.
Seems like every year we're like, this is going to be the next Lions running back that's really good.
And yes.
It just does not work out, the Barry Sanders curse. Next up, Cam Akers, Los Angeles Rams. Very intriguing prospect here. Where are you at on Cam Akers?
Yeah, I mean, the Florida State running back, Cam Akers, was fantastic. I actually really like him because I think that Rams offense is going to bounce back a little bit this year. You know, he's another guy who, if you look at the guys he's going to be competing against, Darrell Henderson, Malcolm Brown, he should beat those guys out. He's the better running back. So I think if you can get him round 9, round 10, I wouldn't be surprised if he rushes for, you know, 700-800 yards. And I think he's one of those good picks, kind of mid of the 9th, 10th round.
Yeah, and right around there as well would be Jonathan Taylor from the Colts. We know a lot about Jonathan Taylor from Wisconsin. The Colts used a second round pick on him. I think that was a great pick by the Colts. I think Dobbins going the second round was a great pick by the Ravens. It's very annoying as a Bengal fan that the Ravens draft great every year, it seems like. Even now, Ozzie Newsome's gone. They're still drafting great. But focusing on Jonathan Taylor, what do you expect out of him this year in fantasy?
Yeah, right after Clyde Edwards-Helaire should be Jonathan Taylor. I mean, there will be a big difference. Obviously, Edwards-Helaire will be a first-round pick. I think Jonathan Taylor, as far as drafts go, you'll probably see him in round 7 or 8. But I like him a lot. I mean, Marlon Mack is with the Colts. He's in that backfield. But I could see him getting to be the starting running back there week 5, week 6. I like Jonathan Taylor. To me, that is a good pick. I like Cam Akers and Jonathan Taylor a lot as far as the rookie running backs. And then, of course, J.K. Dobbins. We talked about him a little bit last hour. You know, the difference for him versus these other running backs is he's got a clear number one running back that he's got to unseat, and that's Mark Ingram. Mark Ingram will come in as the number one. But look, I wouldn't be shocked if late in the season J.K. Dobbins takes over for Mark Ingram because we know how good that he can be.
Absolutely. And if you're drafting Dobbins and it doesn't work out, you're not sacrificing that much. You can get him like in like the 11th round of some drafts. He went pretty cheap he didn't go that cheap in the auction because it's a bunch of Ohio State fans mostly here in Columbus that were taking part of the auction I was in on Friday. But for the most part, J.K. Dobbins is going to be a good deal for you. And if it doesn't work out, you're not sacrificing much. And it could be just an absolute steal. Him being ranked like 42nd running back, according to The Athletic. And that, again, Jake Seeley knows what he's doing. But, you know, I think J.K. Dobbins is going to be better than that. Real quick, I want to get your thoughts on the rookie wide receivers. 3 in particular. I think all 3 of these guys could be big factors in fantasy this year. All first-round picks. Jalen Reagor from the Eagles. Henry Ruggs II for the Raiders. And C.D. Lamb for the Dallas Cowboys. I think all 3 of those guys are intriguing. Where are you at on those guys?
Very intriguing. The one that intrigues me the most is probably C.D. Lamb because of the quarterback. Dak Prescott, to me, I think he could be one of those top 2-3 quarterbacks this year. C.D. Lamb, to me, is going to be and he's in a great situation because he's going to have Amari Cooper and Michael Gallup. So I think he could be a consistent fantasy guy as the number 3 wide receiver there. So I like C.D. Lamb. And another guy that I like, Dave, is Jerry Jeudy, the Broncos. It just seems to me like this Bronco offense is going to be a lot better than what it's been. So I like Jerry Jeudy and CeeDee Lamb as my top 2 wide receivers. Who would you rank as your top 2?
Oh, wow. Rieger's the number one that I would go with because he's going to have a big role. They really like him in Philadelphia. And I would not have, you know, before I read those reports, I would have said CeeDee Lamb and, you know, probably Judy, but from everything I've read, it's like Rieger's going to get a lot of playing time, and he's going to step right. I mean, all those guys are going to get a lot of playing time, but Rieger's going to be a big-time target there. So he'd be my number one, and then I'd probably go CeeDee Lamb number two over Henry Ruggs the second. But I like all those guys. I like Jerry Judy, too. I'm glad you brought him up. I was a big fan of his when he was at Alabama. I thought I didn't realize. I thought he was a little faster than what he was. I think he plays faster than what he clocked. I thought he'd go earlier in the draft. Like, if you asked me before the combine who's going to be the number one receiver, I would have said Jerry Judy. So, very good wide receiver class. All right, next up, we are going to take a look at the betting situation and the fantasy situation for the Cincinnati Bengals. We're also going to take a look at NFC over-under win totals for the various teams in the NFC. That is up next on The Money, 97.1 The Fan.
Whatever you're doing right now, just know that Bo Bishop is enjoying a sip of bourbon. Even if this promo is playing in the morning, no judgment.
Ah, sweet morning drinking.
The Fan.
On The Money, 97.1 The Fan. I am Dave Biddle. I am joined by Scotty Vegas. Before we get to more fantasy football and gambling talk, I just want to send out well wishes to Haskell Garrett, senior defensive tackle at Ohio State. For those that don't know, he was the victim of a gunshot wound last night, was shot in the face, was shot in the cheek. The good news is he is in stable condition. So thoughts and prayers out to Haskell Garrett, senior defensive tackle at Ohio State, who was shot in the face late last night. Again, in stable condition. So, I mean, you know, when you hear somebody's shot in the face, but they're in stable condition, that's good news that he's in stable condition and it's not a lot worse. So thoughts out to Haskell Garrett. All right, let's get into the Cincinnati Bengals fantasy perspective this year. Scotty, who to target, who to stay away from. It's mostly who to stay away from, right? Obviously, and even the guys you want to target, you got to be really careful with. We've talked a lot about Joe Mixon, but just kind of break down your thoughts on the Bengals from a fantasy perspective this year.
Yeah, specifically starting with Joe Mixon. He's getting drafted. His average draft position right now is around 10, so you might see him late first round, early second round. You know, the thing about Joe Mixon last year, he had 16 rushing attempts inside the opponent's 4-yard line. He only scored on 4 of those. So a little bit unlucky. I love the number of rushing attempts inside the 4. That's a lot. That's good. The problem is he only scored on 4 of those. You know, the interesting thing is Gio Bernard. You know, he's a guy that, it's amazing, you know, as far as PPR goes, he's not a bad guy to have in case, you know, something happens with Mixon. We talked about, you know, the potential migraines, or is it a contract issue? Who knows with Joe Mixon? But if you take Mixon, also grab Gio Bernard for sure. And as far as quarterback, Joe Burrow, look, you got to love the opportunity that Zach Taylor is going to give him this year. You know, you look at Andy Dalton. Last year, Andy Dalton ended up finishing with the 12th most fantasy points despite missing 3 games. So a lot of that is because the Bengals are behind in games a lot. So they've got to throw the football. They've got to do that. And I think Joe Burrow is going to benefit from that. He, you know, not only that, the Bengals will be behind in games, but Joe Burrow can also run too. He rushed for 800 yards, 12 touchdowns with LSU. So I wouldn't be against taking Joe Burrow late in drafts as a quarterback, and I think there will be certain matchups that you could consider playing him. As far as the wide receivers go, AJ Green didn't play last year. His average draft position this year, to me, is a little too high. He's going in 28, which is early third round. And then I would actually lean more towards drafting Tyler Boyd. He's going more in the mid-third rounds. So, to me, there's no guys that I'm, like, extra targeting, Dave, but I wouldn't be against grabbing Joe Burrow or Tyler Boyd. How about you?
Tyler Boyd, to me, is the best value of the Bengals yes. that I've seen. You know, I think you laid it out perfectly. Like, I'm seeing A.J. Green and Tyler Boyd, they're ranked similar, but, like, usually A.J. Green's ranked a little bit ahead of Tyler Boyd. I think it should be the other way around. This is not A.J. Green of 5 years ago. This is A.J. Green that has, you know, missed either almost an entire season or at least chunks of games in each of the last 3 years. And it's, you know, it's all problems with his feet, both feet. And that's a problem when you're a wide receiver who's always been very nimble and great on his feet. And still one of the best wide receivers that I've seen. I feel like because he's playing in Cincinnati, because he was with Andy Dalton, who was okay here and there, A.J. Green, to me, overall for his career is underrated. But this is a different A.J. Green on the wrong side of 30, you know, at least three surgeries now. And I think Tyler Boyd, though, I think he is a good value with where you can get him. I mean, I think you're going to be very – is he going to be a superstar? Who knows? He could be. But I think at least he's going to be a good fantasy receiver, which if you get him like in the seventh round – you're going to be very, very happy with that. All right, switching gears, let's look at AFC over-under win totals for each team. We looked at the AFC earlier. Let's look at NFC over-under win totals. Number one, the San Francisco 49ers. 10.5 is the over-under, Scotty. I will take the over. I think the Niners are going to be 11-5 or better. Give me the over for the 49ers. What do you got?
You know what always scares me is those Super Bowl runners-up and that hangover. Look, it yes. seems to always happen. We saw it with the Rams. We've seen it time and time again.
Falcons,
yeah. Absolutely. And will the 49ers kind of fall right into that? I'm a little worried about it. I think they're going to be a good team, but I would take under 10.5.
Interesting. He next up, tied for second most win over-under in the NFC, the Saints and the Cowboys. I'll start with the Saints. I have the Saints going over 10. I'll go over 10 on the Saints. What do you got?
I agree. And it shocked me how their season ended last year. But I like the Saints. I think this is another – the window is still slightly open on the Saints to win another Super Bowl. Unfortunately, I think it could be closing fast if this is Drew Brees' final season. But I'm going to say over for the Saints for sure.
The Cowboys, I'm going to use my one push here because I think they're going to be a 10-6 team. I don't think they're going to be 11-5. I'll be surprised if they're 9-7. I guess if I had to pick over or under, I would go under 10 for the Cowboys. I think there's a better chance they'll be 9-7 than they will be 11-5. But I see them as a 10-6 football team this year. So I'm going to take the push for the Cowboys. What do you got, over, under, or push 10 wins for the Cowboys?
I'm going over, actually. And I think that they get a couple games credit for the fact that they don't have Jason Garrett as their head coach anymore. He was horrendous. They stunk in close games. They were 0-5 in games last year that were decided by 7 or fewer points. To me, that's bad luck. That's bad coaching down the stretch. I think they'll be better in these 50-50 games. I'm going over with the Cowboys, and that might be one of my favorite plays of the over-unders.
Next up, the Bucks and the Eagles are both at 9.5. I have the Bucks going over 9.5, and I have the Eagles under 9.5. What do you got, Scotty?
So many weapons with Tampa Bay now with Tom Brady. We haven't even talked about him yet. The problem is I think that number's a little inflated, so I'm going to go under for Tampa Bay. And you said the Eagles. I'm also going under for the Eagles.
Okay, Packers, Seahawks, and Vikings all at 9, tied for the 6th. Most in the NFC. I'm going to go under for the Packers. I'm going to go over for the Seahawks and over for the Vikings all at 9. So Packers, Seahawks, Vikings all at 9. What do you got, Scotty?
Yep, I actually agree with all three of what you just said. And my favorite team out of those is Seattle. I think Seattle is going to be one of those teams in the NFC. I could see them taking the jump this year to actually winning the NFC. So give me Seattle over.
We'll do some rapid fire here. All right, tied for 9th for the most wins in the NFC, according to the Vegas projections, the Vegas over-unders. The Rams and the Bears. I have the Rams going over 8, the Bears going under 8. What do you got?
I don't really like either team all that much this year. I'm going to go under for both.
All right, 11th. The Falcons and the Cardinals are tied, 7.5. I have the Falcons going under, the Cardinals going over. What do you got? 7.5.
I'm with you, and I think Arizona is a sneaky team this year. I'm going definitely over with Arizona. I think that offense is going to be so fun to watch with Kyler and DeAndre Hopkins. That's going to be a fun team. Much watch TV will be Arizona this year.
I agree with you. That's of all these over-unders, that's the one I might jump on the most is Cardinals over 7.5. They were decent by the end of the year last year. They didn't even have DeAndre Hopkins yet. They beefed up their defense a little bit. Cardinals over 7.5 for sure for me. All right, 13th, Lions and Giants, both at 6.5 for the over-under. I'm going under for the Lions and the Giants at 6.5. What do you got?
We're actually going to be doing our division picks later in our best bet segment. But I will tell you, I think Detroit is a sneaky team this year. I'm going to take them as over. Again, they were playing well until Matthew Stafford got hurt last year. I love Kenny Golladay, the wide receiver. I think they're a sneaky team. I'm going over with Detroit. And remind me of the second team you said there?
The Giants.
See, to me, the Giants are going to go under. So give me over with the Lions, under with the Giants.
All right. 15th, Panthers, 5.5. Give me the under for the Panthers at 5.5. What do you got, Scotty?
Definitely under. I think they're going to be one of the worst teams in the NFL.
And the Washington Buckeyes, or the Washington FT, whatever you want to call them, Washington FT, 5. I'll go under, although they're going to be improved. I think Dwayne Haskins is going to show he's the right guy, but I think they're going to be probably 4-12. I'll be surprised if they're 6-10. 5-11, they could push. I'll go under 5 for Washington. What do you got?
Yeah, I think that division is a little bit better. I don't see them getting over 5 wins. To me, that's more of a push. I think I could see them right at 5.
Next up, we will tell you everything you need to know about quarterbacks in fantasy this year, and we're going to take a look at some very fun NFL player prop bets for the season. That is up next on The Money, 97.1 The Fan.
We are everywhere.
On your radio.
Online. The Fan app. Alexa. And
behind you in your car.
Right now.
Too creepy?
Sorry.
The Fan.
Ohio sports destination.
On The Money, 97.1 The Fan. I am Dave Biddle. I am joined by Scotty Vegas. We're going to talk some quarterbacks in this segment. We talked a lot about Pat Mahomes, Lamar Jackson. You guys know all about those guys. They're really, really good. Let's give you some sleepers for the quarterbacks this year and some guys maybe you should stay away from that are being overdrafted. I want to start with the sleeper. I never thought I'd call this guy a sleeper, but this year it's just amazing how far down the list he is Cam Newton. And now it looks like, even though Bill Belichick's not going to make this public, I'm sure, Scotty, a lot of people tend to think that Cam Newton's going to be the guy this year over Stidham. I thought for a while it would be Stidham. And I think Cam Newton is going to be the starting quarterback of the Patriots, and you can wait on him. You don't want to draft him early, but you can get him late in drafts. You can get him cheap in auctions. Cam Newton could be a sneaky good pick at quarterback this year. What do you think, Scott?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know that Cam Newton's going to end up being the guy. They're not going to name him the guy. They're going to make the competition happen, but he is going to be the guy. And a guy who I like who's going really late. In fact, his average draft position is in the 130s. And this is a guy who last year, week 1 through 9, had the second most touchdowns, was fourth in yards, and then he got hurt. And I'm talking about Matthew Stafford with the Lions. I like him a lot late. Look, the Lions have a bad defense. The way that the Lions are going to win games this year is they're going to be throwing the ball. They got to play catch-up ball. That bad D is going to force that. Stafford's going to put up great numbers. He's got two really, really good wide receivers in Golladay and Jones. So I like Matthew Stafford, especially if he's getting drafted in round 12, 13, which right now that's where his average draft position is. So I like Stafford there. And then we haven't talked much about him, Dave, but Tom Brady. And here's the reason why. It's funny to say, why do I need to come up with reasons why to take Tom Brady? But look at his weapons. I mean, Chris Godwin, Mike Evans, Gronk, O.J. Howard. I mean, my gosh, the weapons that Tom Brady has is incredible. And he's being drafted right now, 7th, 8th round. I think that's a sneaky good play. You know, the only thing that is fearful for me is kind of that he has those late season regressions, you know, towards the end of the regular season. His numbers have fallen the last couple years, but I like Tom Brady. I think there's good value if you can get him in round 7.
Yeah, Brady, I think, you know, he's ranked as list I'm looking at and by The Athletic, the 9th quarterback, and I really like him. I think he's going to be, you know, I think he's going to be a top 7 quarterback. I'm not going to say he's going to be top 5, but I like Brady this year. One guy who I think is a little underrated is Aaron Rodgers. I think people saw that they took Jordan Love in the first round, and does that mean Aaron Rodgers is going to be in trouble? No. Jordan Love's having some trouble. He might be the 3rd string quarterback, and I think most people thought Aaron Rodgers would be the starter, don't get me wrong, but he's being well underdrafted. The number 13 quarterback in fantasy, number 14 according to The Athletic, is Daniel Jones. So if I'm sitting there and I need a quarterback, I'm picking between Aaron Rodgers and Daniel Jones are the top two left, you know, the highest ranked. I mean, it's easy for me. I'm taking Aaron Rodgers. And speaking of Daniel Jones, I think he is overrated as the number 14 quarterback. So Aaron Rodgers, a little underrated. Daniel Jones, overrated in my opinion.
Yeah, a couple quarterback notes that I wrote down, Dave. Look, Mahomes last year was the clear number one going into the draft. Everybody took him as quarterback one. Well, guess what? He finished just 1.5 points, 1.5 more fantasy points ahead of Jameis Winston last year, who Jameis Winston's not even a starting quarterback this year. Now, last year, we know Jameis Winston had a lot of points, a lot of yards late in the year, ended up quarterback number six. And another thing, last year, 9 of the top 10 quarterbacks had at least 200 rushing yards. So when you're looking at drafting a quarterback, and this would go a little bit against the reason you'd draft Tom Brady, but you got to look for some of those running quarterbacks, the rushing yards. That's why Lamar Jackson's numbers are so ridiculous, is because he's probably going to run for 800-900 yards and multiple touchdowns again. So, you know, look for that running quarterback that really helps you to stack up those points.
One more quarterback I want to touch on, Roethlisberger, I think is a little underrated. He's the 15th quarterback ranked by The Athletic, and I think Roethlisberger, nice little bounce-back candidate this year. It's not like he was bad last year. He was just hurt. And he's getting up there in age. I get that. He's had several injuries throughout his career. I get it. But I still think he's going to be better than the 15th fantasy quarterback this year. What do you think, Scotty?
I agree, and I was actually just looking at some pictures and stuff from the Steelers camp, and he's skinnier. It looks like he's a younger man, it looks like, to me, looking at him. I like the Steelers a lot this year. I said that I thought that they were a dark horse Super Bowl team. I think Ben is a good choice, and he's got targets. So we know that offense moves, and when he's healthy, that's a good pick.
Speaking of Roethlisberger, let's get into some NFL player props. Some fun stuff here. Let's start with comeback player of the year. The odds for comeback player of the year in the NFL tied for number one. Ben Roethlisberger and Cam Newton at plus 300. Makes a lot of sense there. Tied for third, J.J. Watt, Matt Stafford, and Gronk plus 725. So Roethlisberger and Cam Newton, 3-1. Stafford, Watt, and Gronk basically 7-1. And then number six, good value here, AJ Green, 10-1 for comeback player of the year. If you had to bet on somebody for comeback player of the year, do you like any of those odds? Those bets, Scotty?
I love Ben. Even though he's got the 3-1 odds, which aren't huge, but I mean, if he comes out and he has a good season, I'd be shocked. You know how early he went out last year. I think he would be the story. He to me would be the lock to take there. You know what's funny, Dave? Looking at this list. Myles Garrett is on there at 15-1. I don't think there's any chance that the NFL would give him comeback player of the year award, no matter how great he was this year.
Oh man, yeah, he's gonna have to have like 30 sacks for them to give it to
right.
him. Let's look at player props for MVP. Number one, Patrick Mahomes, 4-1. Number two, Lamar Jackson, 7.5-1. Number three, Russell Wilson, 8.5-1. Number four, Tom Brady, 12-1. And then tied for fifth, Dak Prescott and Kyler Murray, 14-1. You like any of those?
Yeah, the two that stand out to me are Russell Wilson at 8.5-1 and Dak Prescott at 14-1. I like both of those teams a lot in the NFC. If either Seattle or Dallas goes and wins the NFC, I wouldn't be shocked if either one of those guys won MVP. And with the value, I like that there. Is there anyone on the board, you know, below that you think would make any sense?
No, I really don't. I mean, somebody's going to pop up and surprise us. There's going to be somebody like Derrick Henry, like last year, not that he was MVP, but is going to pop up and surprise us, is going to be in the running. But as I look at it right now, no. What about you?
No, I agree. I think it's going to be one of those top five guys: Mahomes, Jackson, Wilson, Brady, or Prescott.
And real quick, one more interesting NFL prop bet, just because we love this guy. Defensive Rookie of the Year, number one by a wide margin, Chase Young. 2-1, though. You're not getting really good odds there. 2-1, Chase Young, Defensive Rookie of the Year. Number two would be Isaiah Simmons, 5-1. Number three, Patrick Queen. Another great pick by those damn Ravens. Can't believe they got him that late. 9-1 for Patrick Queen. Kenneth Murray, 14-1. Number five, Jeff Okuda, 16-1. You like any of those?
Ooh, Okuda's interesting to me.
I like Patrick Queen. I like Patrick Queen. I'll say that at 9-1.
Yeah, you know, I probably wouldn't touch that one because I do think that Chase Young at 2-1. The value's just not quite there. But I, you know, as far as those bets, and how about, by the way, we're sticking defensive. How about the fact that Nick Bosa is number two for, defensive player of the year, right behind Aaron Donald in the odds. So the incredible, we're seeing Buckeyes everywhere, but number two, Bosa in the defense and number one in the rookie defense, Chase Young.
Next up here on the Money is our Best Bet segment, and you will also find out where Scotty Vegas is putting his $100 at this week. That is up next on the Money, 97.1 The Fan.
If it's Buckeye football you crave, you've come to the right place. And if it's day drinking you crave, you've also come to the right place. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
On the Money, 97.1 The Fan. I am Dave Biddle. I am joined by Scotty Vegas. It is time for Best Bets. Hit it, Bodie.
It's time for Biddle and Scotty Vegas to fight to the death. It's time for Best Bets.
I don't know if we're going to fight to the death. We usually say that for the real games. Then we will fight to the death. But this is Best Bets. We're going to start off with the division winners for each division in the NFL. Let's start off with the AFC East. The Patriots, plus 145. You like that one, Scotty?
Boy, this division to me is 50-50. Bills, Patriots. I guess I would lean Patriots just because of history. How about you?
Yeah, I'll take the Patriots. The Bills, you know, are a trendy pick, but I'm taking the Patriots. And I think McDermott's a good coach, but give me coaching. I think the Bills have a more talented roster, but not that much more talented. Belichick, best coach in football history. Give me the Patriots. All right, the AFC North, the Ravens, big-time favorite. They are favored. They are minus 185 to win the division. The other choice is Steelers, plus 375. Browns, plus 450. The Bengals, I think you have them at plus 2,000. I have them at plus 1,600. That's according to Bovada. Who are you taking, Scotty?
Boy, you know, I like the Steelers a lot this year. I just don't see them winning the division over the Ravens. So I think you got to take the Ravens. But to me, the Steelers are going to be a contender in the playoffs. But I'm taking the Ravens to win the division.
Yeah, I'm taking the Ravens to win the division, but to give some gambling advice, if I was betting on this, I think the best deal is Steelers plus 375, but
exactly.
I'm taking the Ravens to win the division. All right, AFC South, who you got, Scotty?
I'm going with the Titans at 2-1. I they got into the playoffs last year, made a little run. Henry's back. I love what Vrabel's doing. Give me the Titans. I don't quite trust the Colts, even with Phillip Rivers.
I think the Titans at plus 175 is the best bet, but I have the Colts winning the division. They're plus 120, so I don't like their odds as much as the Titans. I think it's almost a toss-up, but I will take the Colts over the Titans. It's close, though. All right, AFC West, the Chiefs are the favorite.
Yeah.
Minus 350, shockingly. I mean, obviously, I think we're both taking the Chiefs, correct?
That's correct. Not
yeah.
even close.
If people are wondering, yeah, Broncos plus 750, Chargers 8-1, Raiders 10-1. All right, let's move on to the divisions in the AFC. The NFC. Let's start with the NFC East. Cowboys minus 120. They're the favorites, followed by Eagles plus 145, Giants 10-1, Washington 16-1. Who you got, Scott?
I'm going Cowboys. I love that offense. I think the defense is good enough. And to me, this is obviously a two-horse race, Cowboys-Eagles. Give me the Cowboys.
I got the Cowboys as well. NFC North, the Vikings are the favorite, plus 175, but this is a close one. Packers nipping on their heels, plus 180. Bears, 4-1. Lions, 4.5-1. Who you got, Scott?
Don't sleep on the Lions at 4.5-1. I know that's a crazy answer.
Ooh.
There's always a team that goes from worst to first. It's kind of wild. Give me the Lions.
Wow. Not just
yeah.
that you think that's the best bet to make it at 4.5-1, but you're going to have them to win the division outright. Look at you.
Yeah.
You might want to do the money line on that one then. all right, I'll take the Vikings. I'll go with chalk here. All right, NFC South. This will be an interesting one. Saints and Bucks. Saints are the favorite. Minus 105 Bucks, plus 145. Who you got?
I'm going to go Saints. I just feel like the Bucks, you know, obviously the talent is there. But give me the Saints, the continuity of the same head coach, same quarterback, all that. I like that.
I'm going to take the Bucks. I am buying into Tom Brady and Bruce Arians and the Bucks this year. Give me the Bucks, but that's going to be a fun battle between those two future Hall of Fame quarterbacks, two of the best ever, and Drew Brees and Tom Brady. All right, NFC West, 49ers plus 105, Seahawks plus 205, Rams 6-1, Cardinals 6-1. Who you got, Scott?
I'm going to go with the Seahawks. I like them a lot. I think they're a Super Bowl contender. Give me the Seahawks out west.
Ooh, I like the odds there for the Seahawks, but I like the Niners to win that division. I wouldn't bet on it because it's basically even money, but like I like the Niners to win that division. All right, now let's get to our conference champions. I'll go first this time. I'm really going out on a limb here. This didn't happen at all last year. Oh, yeah, it did. Chiefs and 49ers. So I have a Super Bowl repeat, which I know the odds are highly against that, but I have the Chiefs and the 49ers playing for it all this year. Who do you think will be in the Super Bowl, Scott?
I'm going to go with the Chiefs as well, but I'm going to go with Chiefs versus Cowboys. Chiefs, Cowboys, and I just love them taking the big jump this year. Dak, contract year, give me the Cowboys.
Super Bowl winner, I have the Chiefs to repeat. Who you got?
I'm going Chiefs as well, and my $100 this week, Dave, is going to be on a little parlay. It's going to be a division parlay. I would be taking the Baltimore Ravens to win the division with the Chiefs to win the division, which are obviously two relatively big favorites. You can get 1-1 if both of them happen. $100, you're going to win $100 if those happen, and I like both to happen. So that's my $100 this week.
I like it. How great is it that we're just 2 weeks away from NFL football? Really, less than 2 weeks. We have the Thursday game. Less than two weeks away from NFL football. It's fantastic.
11 days, Dave. Unbelievable. And we got a great Bud Light contest, a pick'em contest that all of our listeners can participate in. Win that Bud Light Ultimate Man Cave. This is going to be so much fun.
That's right. Thank you to everybody. We'll be back next week. This is On the Money, 97.1 The Fan.
25 years of conversation. 25 years of play-by-play. 25 years of memories. Proud to be your Heritage Sports Talker. The Fan, Ohio sports destination. WBNSFM, HD1 Columbus. The Fan.
This is SportsCenter.
The Celtics about to tip.